Hello and welcome back to Clear Voice, the podcast where women support and inspire other women to be confident in their voices and to be heard. This week, I spoke to Toya DeLazy about her experience as a modern Zulu princess. We discuss LGBTQI visibility and representation, voicing the first Black Powerpuff Girl, and educating the haters. You'll hear in this podcast that it's tricky to describe the traditional Zulu outfit, so there is a link in the show notes to a picture of Toya wearing it. Another interesting thing that comes up is an accidental misgendering of someone. We're always striving to use the correct pronouns, and we know that sometimes we're going to get it wrong. And this just acts as a reminder that there's absolutely no shame in making mistakes as long as we're actively trying to learn and use the correct pronouns, which you'll hear that we do. So, without further ado, here is Toya. So Toya, welcome. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. How was your journey?
Good. Yeah. A few changes, but good.
Good. Thank you for making the trek. Because also you just had a really, really busy weekend, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been quite a lot. I had two Pride shows. So here it's separated. There's Black Pride and there's London Pride, which was pretty interesting when I first arrived. But I think I kind of understand why. I understand why Black Pride had to exist, just to represent those the African community and Black community and other ethnicities that don't feel represented at, I don't know, main Pride.
Yeah.
So, but it was amazing. Both shows were incredible. Pride is pretty cool. And I met Sadiq Khan, which is pretty mad.
I know. I was just about to say, I saw a little cheeky photo of you and Sadiq. So how did that happen?
He came to join the celebrations and I was marching with Diva. They're standing for Diva. So it's like inclusion of the trans community, because at the moment, trans people get a lot of flack, even within the LGBTQI, because I know people just don't get it. It's different and apparently too different because it's complicated, but there are people that don't feel that trans people have a voice and are allowed to exist and allowed to be who they are.
And so, is that in the world or in the LGBT?
I think in the world, like, that, you know, there's some people that aren't ready to see what a trans person really looks like.
Oh yeah, totally agree with
and
that.
And experience them. So yeah, they're going through the most at the moment. So Diva magazine is making a stand with them, and Sadiq came there and he was part of that, and he just to enforce that people can love whoever they want and they can be whoever they want in London. So that's how that happened. That's how I bumped into it.
That's amazing. What an amazing leader.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Trump always snaps on him, but he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're not going to see Trump at Pride, are you?
No. Boo. Well, I saw Boris go to Pride.
Really?
Yeah, it was funny. I hope it was a joke, because I saw a clip of him, I think, trying to attend Pride, and as he's leaving, like, people are throwing things at him and yelling boo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It didn't go off.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a bit of a failed attempt, isn't it? Guys, I've come to join your party. No, go away. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, well.
But it's never acceptable to throw things at people. We must also remember that.
I thought of that. Yeah, I was like, whoa, we let go there. Sheesh.
But yeah, so you have quite an established relationship with Diva. So tell me a little bit about them and what they stand for more.
Diva magazine, I think, was created years ago. One of the first lesbian magazines focusing on women. And I think Linda Riley, she runs it. Mm-hmm. She's the big lady behind it.
I love that, the big lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about women's stories, people in the LGBTQI stories, but it mainly focuses on women. So it's been around for the longest time, and I think it's meant a lot for people or lesbians who haven't felt represented, to have a magazine which tells stories of other people and I guess to make you feel like you're not alone in the world, because there's just not a lot of representation for things that are out of the binary. So
definitely.
I think Diva has played that role in, keeping people, making people feel like they exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, you highlighted a really important point, because women are marginalized, and then within that
there's sector, more marginalization.
Exactly.
There's color. It's like, where does it stop?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing that organizations like Diva exist. And I think as women, we have to just bring everyone into our different lights and support each other.
Yeah.
And make sure that as women, we're not marginalizing other women as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's super exciting. And tell me more about your relationship with Diva, because they nominated you for an award.
Oh, true. Yes. So they like my music, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I mean, your music is also pretty cool.
Thank you. So they've booked me on a few shows. I think I've been working with them for 3 years now. Did their first women's stage in like 2015. And then they invited me for the Diva Festival, which has just been created. I also got nominated for an award for Best Musician.
Yes.
And I was also on the Power List. So I guess they recognized me as someone coming all the way from South Africa, being Zulu, but still proudly who I am and not afraid to say it or just be myself.
Yeah.
Be queer, be female, make music.
Yeah.
That's what they represent.
And how does that make you feel?
Oh my goodness, it's great. I mean, everyone, I'm sure everyone wants to be loved as they are and not feel like they need to put on a certain layer or be behind a veil. So I just love living an authentic life. So if people appreciate that, it makes my life easier.
Definitely. And I think also living an authentic life in the spotlight as well allows you to really inspire other people to do that too. So you are, as you mentioned, Zulu and from South Africa. So how long have you been in London for?
So it's my fourth year now coming up. Yeah.
And how did you find big move, right?
Yeah, very, very big move. When I first came here initially, I was like, I felt like I needed a change. In South Africa, it was great. I mean, people just wanted a pop star, which was great, but I'd evolved. And with my label at the time, I don't think they were ready for my transition, if I could put it that way.
Yeah.
We broke ties and I needed a place to go just to find who I am and what I stand for and what I want to do. And I first started in the States and I decided to come through to London because of our relationship with South Africa. And yes, I ended up here 2015, grafting, pushing as a musician. And it's been crazy. I mean, home is far. A lot has happened since I've left home. Sad things, good things. I've been just trying to make this place my new home, create a new community.
Yeah.
And of course, Diva has been part of me also turning this into a home, having a community around me.
Absolutely.
And also just other musicians. I've been trying to make it work quite a bit.
What did you find were the things that really helped you when you first came here? Like, what did you do that you find that really worked? And was there anything that you did that you were like, this is just not right?
Well, I had to find musicians, of course, and spaces that I can be a part of with people that kind of share my passions. And I was here for music. You know, of course, this journey now is just warped into something a lot more. And then, of course, I had quite a few opportunities here because also I've been working with Cartoon Network. And I got the opportunity to voice the first Black Powerpuff Girl during that time.
Cool.
Yeah. So having that was great. It kind of like anchored me in a way. And I do those recordings every once in a while for Bliss. Her name is Bliss. And yeah, I keep working. So it's all about just finding the music community and doing shows and putting it out there.
Amazing. And so when did you first start voicing Bliss?
2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. How is it in 2017? How long has Powerpuff Girls been running?
I mean, 70 years or
yeah.
more.
Yeah. I mean, yay that they finally have kind of become slightly more yeah. woke.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I think they've woken up quite a few animation programs. Mm. Like even Disney's like step up to the plate by adding the Black Mermaid. And I think Powerpuff Girls was the catalyst in that whole reaction. Yeah. So I'm good. Glad. I'm glad. I hope hope they're proud.
Absolutely.
It's about
yeah.
time. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
There's barely any representation. And yeah, it was really exciting. And it moved a lot of people when it happened. Yeah. Nobody expected it.
Yeah, I think it is female role models and like being able to see yourself doing something, like someone who looks like you doing a certain thing that you want to do is so inspiring and so important.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have role models of all shapes, size, colors, sexuality,
yeah,
whatever, you know. And that's amazing that you've been a part of that. Super cool.
Yeah.
So you're kind of from South Africa, you're living here. How do you find that, like, where do you feel home, and like how do you deal with being sort of disconnected from, because I know you're really connected with your roots?
Yeah, it's been difficult. I won't say it's been an easy thing, especially when you're away from home and somebody passes away or anything along those lines. It's been quite difficult, but thank God for friends that become like family. And you just try to hold on to as much as you can. Like, for instance, I drink Red Bush tea because I've just been drinking it all my life and it reminds me of home and tastes good.
And I forgot to get it for you today. I was like, one
she's
thing.
She's stuffing me berry tea, guys.
I was like, no, I forgot it. But yeah, next time.
No, I'm being treated well here. It's banana bread.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I did bake. So yeah, that's good.
No, she knows.
I do. Toya comes with a sweet tooth. She's a sweet person. So that's why.
Yeah.
Amazing. So also, I mean, you have caused a little bit of outrage, and I say a little bit with some irony, with your dress in South Africa.
Oh yeah, my traditional
Please
outfit.
Tell us more about this.
Okay, so it was my granddad's 90th. My granddad is the basically, could you call it the chairperson of the Zulu Nation? He's the uncle to the king. And it was his 90th, a very, very amazing big day. He's done such a lot for South Africa. He's also a politician, and he's poured his heart out to working for the people and loves the Zulus. And we're all celebrating his birthday. So I decided to wear a traditional outfit that represented me. And, it involved me wearing, like, mixing with the guys' outfits. So usually the guys wear, like, ipeshu. And I've seen women do it as well.
So like, what, can you describe what the outfit is?
Oh, it's just traditional regalia.
Consisting of?
Well, it's nene, ipeshu, I don't know. You guys wouldn't know what that is.
I have not mean.
Yeah, so there's a front part and a back part. And the girls would usually wear something more skirt-like.
Okay.
Made out of cowhide. So I decided to wear the maler version because that's how I felt. I just felt more comfortable in it, and I felt it would be a good way to represent, or how can I put it, to represent myself at such on such a beautiful day. And me and my family are cool. My granddad is cool with who I am, and yeah, as long as if I'm not hurting anybody, decent human being.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's all that matters. So I guess some people just weren't ready. Some men weren't ready, and I don't know. People feel like you need to be a certain way. It's like the old culture of like women don't wear pants. You know, it's. I think it was just a bit of that, and they weren't ready for a princess, perhaps, to take that role.
But yes, maybe we should mention at this point that you are a princess.
Yeah, well,
totally. And like those tropes of like princess and what a princess should be.
Yeah,
it's such a loaded word.
Yeah, it is. It is. And in this century, I think I represent something totally different. It doesn't take away from what I am and where I'm born from and the respect and love I have for it. But I think to be on earth is to live who you are. And I'm glad that I've got that opportunity and my family's cool, you know.
So
yeah, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I do dress up at times, and but I'm not your I'm not your regular princess.
No, and I think that is so cool.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think as young girls with the whole Disney tropes, you know, we're always taught to, like, oh, do you want to be a princess? Do you want to marry a prince? Like, all those, that in itself presents just those, that little sentence. It's like, so A, you have to be a princess. Princess, probably going to have fair skin, blonde hair. Yeah, probably going to wear a dress.
Yeah.
Marry a prince, so you have to be heterosexual and you have to want to get married, which also brings loads of other stuff with it of being property, etc., etc., possibly. And so, but it's something that we say, or people say, in such a carefree manner to small girls. So from such a young age, we just like have this whole thing just in our heads all the time.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's subconscious. So then when you are growing up and you are a little bit more aware of who you are and what you want to be, and maybe you don't want to be a princess, or you don't want, you want to be a different kind of princess and you don't want to marry a prince, it becomes even harder, especially when the people that you love have said those things to you all along.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that you're like, actually, this is what a princess looks like.
Yeah.
And I am this kind of person, and this is what represents me.
Yeah, I think... without that, I would have no direction in life, and I'd be really sad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you can't be who you want to be.
It's for my well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's ultimately what you have to do, because you can't be a good functioning member of society if you don't feel well.
No, you can't. Yeah, it's the worst, actually.
Yeah. And if you do feel well, you can do so much good.
Yeah, you can contribute so much more.
Yeah. And shout out to your family for being so super cool.
Yeah, my granddad's lit.
Yeah,
cool.
Totally. Yeah. So how did you deal with the criticism? Because, you know, criticism is something that we come across in our lives so much. And yes, every day people's criticism might not be in the national press or on social media.
Yeah.
But how did you deal with it?
So I initially, of course, took offense, and I think I cussed him out. I called him an asshole.
Yeah, good.
But then I retreated. As one does,
I know,
in those instances. I mean, I felt insulted. It was a beautiful day. And there was a bit of anger in me. And then as I've grown, I've learned, if you want people to understand you better, it's, yeah, perhaps don't initially just bolt out and attack. I want him at the end of the day to be on my side. I want people to understand. And I've got a huge platform. So I then encouraged everyone to report him.
Good.
Because he was a homophobe, and he worked as a journalist. So these are people telling stories.
Oh my God.
So, and like, he threatened me as well. And like, it was really dodgy. So I just like kind of put him on blast and made everyone aware. Like, if you're going to be this person and you're going to try to tell our African stories, I don't want you writing for our papers. Like, no.
Definitely not.
You're not the guy. So... that's what I did. And yeah, I got people aware, and they were chatting with them and stuff. But I realized that in the future as well, if I ever face that, I want to be more educational as well. Just so whoever, like, if I ever go through that confrontation, like, it's not to just also squash the person.
Yeah.
Because we're also still on Earth. I hope they learn something from it that they can pass on. Because, yeah, then nobody really benefits if we just, like, somebody got squashed in this. Yeah. And, yeah, then it's, I don't know if it's education. So I'm trying to find really positive ways to confrontation.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine, Rain Dove. She knows how to do that. Like,
oh, she is great.
She's brilliant. Yeah. She's brilliant. So, like, she's inspired me a lot, and I often tell her, like, she deals with that well. So I'm trying to see if I can head in those directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have seen her, I should probably say they.
Maybe. They.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, and again, like, I think always we're trying to use correct pronouns. Apologies if we don't always get them right. But yeah, I've seen their things on Instagram when people send them so much hate. And then they're just like, let me just explain this. Mm. And they really approach things with such a grace and good humor that just makes everything a much more wholesome learning place.
Yeah. And I think I value that.
Definitely. And if someone, so this journalist, for example, you know, they have a platform and he speaks to people. And ultimately, you're so right. It's, although, yes, it's so satisfying to be like, you're an asshole. But it is ultimately so much better to approach things with love and just say, this is not quite right. And know that hatred comes from probably a little bit of self-hatred and ignorance.
Yeah, a little bit of homophobia.
Yeah.
Maybe you wanted to get some at some point. Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is, but anyway.
Yeah, all we can do is try and re-educate. And I think it's such a good thing that you're doing. Like, it's such a wholesome thing to be like, actually, I can step away from this and I can step away from the hurt, which is so hard.
Yeah.
And just, because ultimately it was a really big family day for you.
Yeah, to make it about that in such a rude way was unnecessary and also incite the whole community.
Absolutely.
That was rude.
Yeah.
So
don't mess with Toya, people. But if you do, she will educate you in a very friendly way.
I'll try.
But also you talk a lot about body positivity. And so we were talking earlier a little bit about how it's not like generic or mainstream body positivity necessarily. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about it.
Well, I feel there are so many different people on this earth, like so many genders, so many, we just made in different ways. And how I opened up to it even more was when I was in the States and I worked on a documentary that had women, but like everyone was so different, like body wise, I don't want to be rude because one of the ladies, I don't know what the condition is called, but she had a beard. And body positivity, her name is Chase. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Chase. I think you're awesome. And what is amazing, like what I learned from her, how she embraced it, how confident she was. And it actually made her hot, you know?
Like, yeah.
Because it was hers and she loved it. And she was comfortable in her body and understanding that love and like everybody loving each other for who they are instead of, oh my God, you're skinny, now you're hot, or you're round, now you're hot. Like you just love the way your body is and you appreciate it for what it is. So I started thinking of so many people like that are genuinely unhappy with how they look. And that's only because they are not represented and so they want to look like the successful people they see on TV, but that's like a small margin of like everyone, like not everybody looks like that. We don't have straight hair, for example.
Yeah.
I thought of the fact that on TV, you've never actually seen an authentic, I mean, you have, but I've never seen a proper black woman who's not trying, who hasn't been made to look white.
Yeah.
Like, it's not often. Maybe you do sometimes. You'll see a girl with an afro and it's like, awesome. But like it's often it feels like we're trying to be put into this like, it's like a copy.
Yeah, like a trope of what a black woman should be.
Yeah, and that's frustrating and stressful and tiring. And there's enough issues in the world than also trying to fit into something that, you know, you are not made to be.
Yeah.
So body positivity for me is just about people that just love how they are and they appreciate it and we all give each other love and not try change each other. I mean, if you're unhealthy, please change it. I mean,
that's
different. But yeah, just be like, if you're a muscular girl, embrace those muscles. Like Caster Semenya, like what she has gone through with IAAF is just like some bull, like it's been bad. And I just think of girls that are like that. I mean, there are a few, like I've got a bit more muscle at times, and it's like, embrace that. You're still a woman, doesn't mean it's not a woman or you're not a woman. So that's it. I mean, that's generally the vibe I'm on. Like if I feel like I'm contributing to the earth, I want to contribute in that way. Mm. Make people feel comfortable in their own skin. Because once you are, you can do so many things. You can unleash yourself. You can, I mean, I've seen it work in my own life from being from Mahlabathini. It's really far from here. It's not, and it's not like I just got sponsored and yeah, like life started off in a really tricky situation.
Mm-hmm.
Having lost my mom before in matric, and I really didn't know what on earth I am going to do and where my life would end up. So by following my heart and being around people who allowed me to be comfortable in myself, and you know, that made me, you know, you reach deeper into yourself and you blossom. It helped me blossom as a soul, and knowing how important it is to be in charge of your, I feel like the body is your vehicle to success wherever you need to be, and your belief system, if, knowing how important that is, and how people need to start falling a bit more in love with themselves despite what they are shown on television and told. I just want to do more of that, like encouraging people in whatever way to find their true selves.
Totally. It's so important. It's such good, important work to do. Yeah. Because ultimately, if everyone feels like they are living their true, authentic life and they feel good and everyone is positive. Yeah, it's just, it's a huge vehicle for very positive change.
Yeah.
But then,
world's creepy right now.
Yeah, but then I was thinking like maybe the people that we would think of as like negative people, maybe they are living their true, authentic life, and their true, authentic life is to hate.
How can hatred be an authentic love? Hatred, it just doesn't make sense. We are born of love. We're born of energy and all that. Hatred, I don't know. Hatred is a resistance to all that.
Mm.
Maybe it's the authentic life. Maybe it's just inherited.
Maybe.
Yeah, usually it's just inherited, just years of doing the same thing. You think it's normal now.
Yeah, exactly. This is my life now. Hating everyone. maybe it comes from them not being totally happy in themselves, and that fuels their anger and discomfort.
So, yeah, it can't be authentic.
No.
Deep down, there's some sadness.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. So obviously, I don't think we've really talked about music that much.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But you are an incredible musician.
Thank you.
Doing super, super cool stuff. I heard you describe your music, what was it as? Was it South African grime?
Zulu grime.
Zulu grime. Amazing. Yeah. Creating genres wherever you go.
Got it. Well, I'm here now, and the sounds definitely have an impact on me. Bassline, garage, and melding it with Zulu grime in a way has made me feel like I've got a bit of an identity in my new space. So that's what amazing. I'm doing. It makes me feel good, and people like it because it sounds different. It's familiar, but then it has a sound that's different. So yeah, I do that as well. And Rena, I just want to speak my soul or like something more musical, because I'm a pianist. I'm classically trained jazz pianist, and I mix that with electro and hip hop.
So cool. Then,
yeah, there's different facets. There's different sides. Yeah. Multifaceted. It can be difficult at times.
Yeah, but I think
you have to choose.
Exactly. Yeah. You have all these things that want to get out. But I think you do. You choose them really well. I never forget you played me the Jack Johnson. Which was it?
Yeah. Better Together.
And it's like, it's this amazing, like, jazz, classical piano. It was incredible. And it's like, it took it to a new place.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, is what you tend to do with your music. You take things and you take them to a new place.
Yeah.
And an undiscovered, exciting place. Which is super cool.
Cool.
It's, you know, that's what art's about, isn't it? It's not about just doing things that people have done before. It's about innovation and change.
Yeah, classical. I think I used to be quite classical. I mean, after doing it for quite a while, from the age of 9. And then once I discovered jazz, it just broke that pattern. Because jazz, you're playing the same song, but it's kind of like in your way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like classical where you have to play it exactly like it was played by Bach.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. Yeah, so I love how it encouraged improvisation and stuff. I think when I learned jazz improvisation, that's what helped me get into my genre.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so you were in talks with Sony in South Africa. How did you find that process of taking your music into a more corporate environment, and what were the conversations?
Oh, well, back then, I wouldn't say there was a lot of conversations. It was a 360.
Okay. So just explain what a 360
is. Yeah, 360 is when they basically own everything. Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. And it was great. I had written some music. They loved it. It was great. Worked with producers, beefed it up, and it blew up. I guess it was just with growing, I'd say, or having new topics and touching on topics maybe that they were too scared people weren't ready for.
Okay. So topics like
pansexuality, things like that. But of course I know how to, art is about portraying something, but you don't have to make it blatant.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, music, it's a reflection of the times.
Mm.
And I'm that sort of artist. I wanted to reflect certain things, teach South Africa about pansexuality. Had a song called Forbidden Fruit, and it was great. There were kissing scenes there, and they, at the time, they wanted to ban them or blur them because they felt the public wasn't ready.
Wow.
To know, to understand that there's not just heterosexuality in the world.
So some hardcore censorship from within, yeah, the label.
Yeah, so if you're going through that, then how can your music progress? You, yeah, because so I was having a bit of those battles, and you can't just keep knocking heads. So mm-hmm. we had to just grow,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and take the journey a direction where it's, yeah, it's welcomed.
Yeah. And was that a difficult, how did you feel about that? Because, you know, record deals are really held. Like, are you signed? Yeah, I'm signed to this big name. And in that, you're like, you're departing from that status, but gaining more artistic status in yourself, perhaps. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it felt like a relief, really, because nothing was happening.
Mm.
So it was just like, well, if nothing's happening, what's the point?
Mm. Yeah, totally. Because you're not in it to do nothing, are you?
I'm not there just to hold the label.
Mm-mm.
I've grown up around all sorts of titles, you know. It's all about the truth at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you have a exciting new project coming on. Tell me.
So I decided to start a podcast as well. I think it's because of everything I've been going through. I've also gone through a bit of an awakening and just really getting to the core of what the hell am I doing here.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't answer that question yet, but I realized I wanted to tell black girl stories. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe it's censorship, but there's not enough of them.
Totally.
You don't ever hear from girls that are up and coming, what they're going through. I've moved. I feel like I could share some information about how that's like.
Yeah.
And just listen to stories from people you wouldn't usually hear them from.
Mm.
So I was going to pull up, of course, a lot of friends and also just talk about all sorts of stuff, from psychological to shows to talking to my musician friends that are doing well and traveling. How's that like? And sharing information just so people can, like, I don't know, get a glimpse into what's happening.
Yeah, totally. And it's so important to open up that conversation.
Yeah.
Conversations that's not there, or maybe they're there, but they're not, because it's not like mainstream, even though it should be mainstream.
Yeah.
It's not. Bringing the marginalized conversations more into the spotlight is so important.
Yeah. It's more like, it's like, I know I'm focusing on black girls, which I feel is important, but it's also going to be like a mood pill. It's like a happy pill, like just to try and encourage people as well. It also carries that with it, encouraging, of course, a lot of my stories as well. But it's been quite a journey mentally for me, everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm getting through it, but it's been a lot in the 5 years, changing country. Everything is different political guys now.
Yeah.
It's not where I grew up. So yeah, trying to offer support if anyone's going in that direction, looking to travel abroad, what to expect. Yeah.
It's so important, you know.
Yeah.
There's all, I think we're thinking like, oh no, it's just me, but actually there is always someone struggling with something that you struggled with before.
Yeah.
And people, yeah, it's really important to share your story. You are an inspirational person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Humbled.
Yeah. So, and then finally, I always ask my guests, tell me about some women that you admire. Or a woman in particular. It doesn't have to be loads.
I admire a friend of mine at the moment. Her name is Natasha. Very spiritual person. And like, we've been growing together. She's also a musician. And I just love how she's been handling her day-to-day life and like encouraging, like often we get caught up in the rat race and you feel like I need to just be like everyone else and be where everyone else is. And with her, like I love how we've reflected into our own journey and took it at our own pace. Mm-hmm. That's helped me a lot. So I admire how she takes time for herself and respects herself. Of course, I mean, I don't know. Do you want me to say famous people?
No, I just...
Just an everyday person popped up in mind.
Yeah, it's really important that I think... Also, we always think, oh, these inspirational people have to be really famous. They have to achieve so much. But actually, it's our everyday women, like mums, aunts, friends. Yeah. Everyone can be inspirational.
Yeah.
So shout out, Natasha.
Shout out, Natasha. Keep pushing. Ella Denton is also really cool. I just discovered a podcast. I've been listening to it and she was been talking about rewilding. So it's like rewiring yourself, kind of unlearning everything as society just puts all the stuff on you. And
amazing. How do you talking about today as well?
Yeah. So yeah, I like what she does.
And what is her podcast called?
Rewilding.
Rewilding. Okay. Yeah. I will definitely look that up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Thank you, Toya.
Yeah, that's all. I'm not leaving anyone out just for now. Of course, shout out to Boo. Love you.
Oh, that's so cute. Amazing. Okay, Toya, thank you so much. I cannot wait to hear your Black Girl stories.
Awesome.
It's going to be super exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Clear Voice. What a brilliant chat that was with Toya. She just has such a wonderful attitude to life. Definitely go and give her music a listen. And tune in next week when I talk to writer Daisy Buchanan about knowing your worth, the ups and downs of female relationships, and that sometimes painful topic of just getting paid. And of course, please rate, review, and subscribe so that we can help spread the word and make our voices heard. See you next week.